insight, wisdom in your word. Thank you for clarity of teaching. Thank you for precision in listening. Thank you, Father, because there's no error in the delivery of your word this morning. Now we fellowship around the same. Thank you as we behold Jesus Christ, revelation of your personal character. We behold ourselves in him. Amen. All right. So we continue on our teaching on law in Genesis. The importance of this particular teaching is that, we're doing law and prophets that comes across understanding Bible interpretation. That's really why we're doing this series, to know Bible interpretation. At the back of that comes the confusion on the character of God and the true nature of God. And I must say this quickly because it's a concern that some folks just pick things that are explained in series like this and then try to maybe explain in one format. And I always say that the Bible teaching is never like that. It's painstaking. These are things I've taught over 4 years, I think, or even five. And I'm never in a hurry, just a step after the other, amongst other things. So, in case you're listening to what I'm teaching here anywhere in the world, just know that it's not something you stumble upon and then, start to, just have to go back to where we started from, places where I made references to. They all come in tandem, because if something is not well explained, it is prone to error, and it's better people never knew about it than to know about it in a way that is not well explained. And so that's the essence, to give us a proper perception about the character of God, because the only way we know God is from the written word. There's no, our experiences do not explain the word. Rather, the word explains our experiences. The more reason why we must align ourselves properly with the word. Now, let's quickly go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 17. James 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, James's foundation of this statement is from 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he a man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, he lays a foundation. Go quickly to Luke's Gospel 24. He lays a foundation before 17. I will come back to it shortly. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 25 to 27. Again, Jesus reiterates a fundamental fact. He comes into a discussion about an event that just happened, that is an experience. And he's saying, just like I said earlier, don't allow your experiences interpret scriptures. Allow scriptures interpret your experiences. That's why he says in verse 25, O fools, right, slow of heart, which is the word bradus. You find that word in James 1:19, slow to speak, slow to wrath. He says, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And we said that not all in the sense of everything the prophets had said. Because the word all must always be qualified when you have the word all. For example, Philippians 4:12, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That can include sin, for example. So you say, I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. And so you just read the previous verse, I know how to abase and I know how to be abound. I can do all things through Christ. That is, I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the best way to look at it. Just like Romans 8:32. He who spared not his own son, all right, but gave him up for us all to die, shall he not with him freely give us all things? You can't include wife in that or a job. All things, there is all these things. All these things, just back up to verse 30 and 31, he says, to whom he did foreknow, 29, to them he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he would be the, might be the firstborn among many brethren, to whom that he foreknew, them he called, that he called, who called, he justified, them he justified, them he glorified. What shall we say then to these things? Verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? So the, when he says, shall he not with him freely give us of all these things? Always know that the word all is qualified. It must be specific. All these things. Now that's it. Notice Now, when Jesus said to believe all that the prophets have spoken, will be all these things that the prophets have spoken, not everything the prophets said. Jesus himself corrected the prophets several times, so you can't say I should believe everything they said. Now, the word believe is the word pistuo in the Greek, which is where you have the word pistis, faith. That is to rely upon. Now, what were they supposed to rely upon? All these things. So he specified them. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So he was very specific. He's specific there about the sufferings of Christ and then the glory that should follow. He's telling you that that's where faith will come from. Faith will not come from all the utterances of the prophets, but faith will come from the utterances of the prophets concerning the sufferings of Christ and then the glory that should follow. And like I explained in the teaching of Law and Prophets, the second part, where we are teaching on the spirit of the prophets, I said this, that Moses, for example, offered both. He offered faith and he offered the law. John 1:17 says the law came by Moses. Alright? The law came by Moses, grace and truth by Jesus Christ. And I explained that what he said there was that Moses offered the law. For example, in Hebrews 4:2, look at Hebrews 4:2, it says the same gospel that was preached unto us was preached unto them, but not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. So it was after the gospel was not mixed with faith that the law was given. I've taught that exhaustively before now. So that means we must look at the utterances. Utterances specific, right? So he is slow to have to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So, look at the case of John the Baptist. I'm still going to go into that. No, I'm teaching that tomorrow, actually. When you have so many subjects, I'm doing that tomorrow. You know, just John the Baptist, Jesus selectively quoted him. That's an example of how to take the words of the prophets. There are things he didn't repeat that John said. We'll look at that tomorrow in Continuing Law and the Prophets. For example, and this is an area we'll look at again. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 9. You know, so far we've been able to, one thing we've done in Law, if you notice the difference between Law and Genesis, and Law and Prophets, Law and Genesis, sorry, is that we're dealing more with actions. Have you observed that? In Law and Genesis. Whereas Law and Prophets, we are looking at utterances. Did you notice that? Huh? Who has noticed that? Nobody has. You have not noticed that? That in Law and Prophets, we're looking at what was said, things that were said, and so on and so forth. Meanwhile, in Law and Genesis, we're looking at the actions. That is, interpreting the actions in the proper light. And that's how to handle the materials positively. So, I said you should look at Luke 9. Here Jesus, his disciples, we're going to refer to this a few more times. And when disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, without that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did. And obviously, when they said this, as Elijah did, there are two schools. Either is talking about the Elisha experience or the Elijah experience. This is Elijah, actually. And he says, you know not what manner of spirit that you are of. Why did he rebuke them? This was something written in the scriptures. Why did he have to rebuke them? There must have been a reason why they were rebuked. So, those are the kind of things that we want to look at and study. For example, in Numbers 20, which we have done a study on before, we find where Moses, in anger, you know, he struck the rock in anger. And water came out of the rock. And God said, you've not sanctified me before the people. And Moses did not go into the promised land, you know what I mean by promised land, based on this. But he struck the rock and water came out. What we can call an act of a miracle today. And yet that act of miracle was done in unbelief. So that's something that will come in as we go further. So Jesus is saying here that, know you not what spirit that you are of, which is fundamental. So then, if Jesus is rebuking an action, because in other words, he has rebuked Elijah. If he's rebuking Elijah for something that was a feat in the Old Testament, Now, I know we've been through all this, you know, God's character, God's person revealed in Christ, but let's get specific. And if we could rebuke Elijah, then we should ask questions. What then was happening? What was happening? Obviously, like we rightly said, Moses' ministry in Numbers 20, for example, was in wrath, was in anger. And I took time to explain a few of that in Law and Prophets, the first series, and the Law and Prophets second series, on how we approach Pharaoh, for example. Now that said, so that means there is a misunderstanding somewhere. If here, Jesus is saying, don't you know the spirit that you are of? Whereas, back then, that was an act of God. That means there are things we have to clarify. Is he saying that an evil spirit did it? If he said an evil spirit did it, well, that's a wide range of things that we might have to look at. So go to James 1. Why did he rebuke them? Again, we have to painstakingly approach these things from Scripture. James 1 again, verse 17. Now pay very good attention here. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, are coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow turning. Now that word gift has just two references in New Testament Greek. Two. Dosis is the word. You know, we have doria, dorima, we have charisma, charismata, and we also have one, merismos. But here, he uses the word doses. I know I've gone through this with you before. This word doses refers more to the giver. It doesn't describe the gift. Okay? It refers to the giver of the gift. So it's the word doses. You'll find in Philippians 4:15. You've got to really be quick with your Bible this morning. Philippians 4:15. So, he's dealing with the character of the giver. And it's important because somebody who is evil, alright, can give you something that is good. But you see, at that point, your focus will be on the gift. But the essence of this statement is to know the giver. Every good gift. So Philippians 4, verse 15. And you know that also that in the beginning of the gospel that church communicated with me concerning giving. So, change the word gift there to giving. Which describes the intention. Doses. The intention. Okay? So, every good there will be intrinsically, that is, in its character, it is good. So every good giving. So the giving is not the gift yet. It will be what? The attitude. The intention of the giver. Every there is specific. Pasa, P-A-S-A, just like the word all. It's not saying that everything that is good is from God. Somebody steals money and gives another person so that he can influence someone and say, everything that is good is from God. Here is the word passer, specific. So we must trace it. And so when you find the word every or all, you must trace the statement. So in verse 16, it says, do not err, my beloved brethren. So let's trace what he was discussing. Do not err. Remember that word again, planeo, P-A-O. Don't be misled. Now, being misled can be your experiences, and most importantly, it's a function of knowledge. Plano is always used for being misled by knowledge. You err and know not the scriptures. Matthew 22:9. You err and know not the scriptures. For example, you are misled via knowledge. So, when it says, every good, watch this, every good gift, and perfect gift. So, he uses the word gift two times on two different things. Every good gift, good giving, then he says perfect gift. So, the second gift now refers to what it does to the recipient. Dorema. D-O-R-E-M-A. So, the first one refers to the giver. Are you there? Are you there? The second refers to who? The receiver or the intended beneficiary. Dorema. You find that word, dorema. Okay? In Romans 5:16, on the gift of grace, the gift of grace. So is the gift. Beneficial. So the issue now is what it does to the recipient. Now, see the first thing it describes. Every good gift. So, good giving, the giver is good. Do you understand? The giver is what? A good person. Perfect gift. So the perfect, does the perfect describe the recipient or what the gift does to the recipient? The benefit it does to the recipient. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Okay? Dorema. Now that word dorema is from the word doreomai. D-O-R-E-O-M-A-I. Doreomai. Where do you find that? You'll find it in Mark 15:45, 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You discover that what he gave us was for us. So it's for you. It's the benefit is on your side. Again, it describes your unselfish character in the mind of God. Now, look at this. Imagine using this to teach giving. Hallelujah. You can see that what people teach as giving is not God's character. Like, please follow what I'm saying here. Can you see what I'm saying? It's not that the giving is good. The benefit is with who? The recipient. Every good gift and every perfect gift. So that means the perfection happens to who? Okay? And that's the word teleos. It accomplishes. You know the interesting part? You will find the same word, perfect or accomplished, in the discussion on sin. In verse 15. Sin, when it is finished, that is accomplished. Are you there? So it says, perfect. So when this gift comes, it's perfect. So we must trace what he's talking about. From above. Okay? Coming down from the Father of Light to whom there's a prayer. He says, from above. Now the word above is used 13 times. Don't think he's talking about from the sky. It's the word anothen. A-N-O-T-H-E-N. Anothen, the reason why it's explained like from above, you will see it now. You'll find it used 13 times. Now, quickly go to Matthew 27:31. Matthew 27:51. When he gave up the ghost, and the Bible says that the curtains in the temple was rent from where? Top to bottom. Okay? Then again, Mark 15:38. From top to bottom. Luke 1:3. From above. Luke 1:3. To write unto thee in order. It seemed good to me also having a perfect understanding of all things from the very first. Very first. First. That first. John 3:3. Except a man be born again. That word again is anathema. Anathing. Marvel not, I say unto you. Verse 7, John 3, you must be born again. Anathing. So, it implies, John 3:31. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaks from the earth, he that comes from the heaven is above all. John 3:31, describing himself above all. Now, in Acts 26 verse 5, Acts 26 and verse 5, which knew me from the beginning, if they will testify that after the most fitted sect of our religion, I lead the Pharisee, from the beginning. So, the word top will be from where? From the start. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Huh? Does it make sense? You know, why is it used top? It's because it's from the start, from the beginning. Are you listening? Huh? Being born again. We call it the new birth. New. Because it's a beginning. Do you understand? Huh? Is that clear? Okay, good. So, that means the gift is, it describes a beginning. From above. So, why would he, what was he discussing? What was he discussing? Go back to James. You know, I said, there's a background, a background where he was describing sin, and that's still going to help us. Look at James 3:15 to 17. This wisdom descends not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Where there is envy and strife, there's confusion, every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, firstly pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits above, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, obviously, look at how he's using that word anothing. That is James himself. When he says from above, do you think he's talking about from heaven or from an action? That's the action we want to trace. What action is he referring to? We must be able to relate what James is saying in context. In verse 13 to 15 will help us. He says, James 1, 13 to 15, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Notice that. That's the first thing he says. Stop there. Because in verse 5, he had said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all to all men liberally and upbraids not. So he says, look, stop right there. Don't move further. Okay? He says, don't say it. For God cannot be tempted, will never tempt any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust are conceived, it brings forth sin. And when it is finished sin, it brings forth death. So, if we press further, pay attention. If we press further in James 1:17, it now says, in whom, coming down from the part of that, the word coming down, okay, is either used for a height, okay, something that is in distance. For example, you know, when it says from the earth and above, he's referring to authority, sometimes when you use the word above, or you are referring to how they are far from each other, they are not from the same source, something of that nature. So, if he now says here now, with whom there is no variableness, pay attention. No variableness, neither shadow of turning. Look at that word, variableness. Because it's important in our study. Variableness is the word paralage. P-A-R-A-L-L-A-G-E. Two words. Para, from or off, then alaso. A-L-L-A-S-O. Means to alter. That is, alaso means to alter. Okay? Now, quickly run through this. It will help you. In Acts 6:14, alteration of customs was mentioned. That's the word alaso. Romans 1:23, where men exchange the use of their bodies. 1 Corinthians 15:51, we shall all be changed. The twinkle of an eye. Say, shall this mortal body shall be exchanged, shall put on, you know, Then verse 52, the bodies. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Galatians 4:20, in Paul's voice. The change of his voice. The tone of his voice. Then Hebrews 1:12, he says the earth will be changed. It will wear a new garment. Hebrews 1:12. So pay attention. He says, in whom there is no variation. That is, there is no change. Don't forget that we started by saying, every good giving. Are you there? And we said that the word giving is those is describing the giver. How the giving. The second give describes the recipient. Are we together here? Good. Now it says, in whom there is no variation. That is, everything he will give will carry this character. And in the recipient, it will carry the same character. Are you following that? Is that clear? Uh-huh. Come on, is that clear? Okay, good. Look at this. So, he's describing the character, that there is no parallel in the way he gives. Neither shadow of turning. Two words there. Actually, the Greek will put turning before shadow. That's the better way. The word turning is the word trope. T-R-O-P-E. Which is used for heavenly bodies. You know, normally we know that, the way heavenly bodies, the stars, the way they move and all that. He says, that's what it's to turn. You know, the sun is here, is not there. That is, when it's there, it's not here. So it describes people sometimes say, God is kind only to those who are believing. So to those who are not believing, is harsh. You know, he's saying no. He doesn't have such a trope. He doesn't, there's no plus 2 hours DMT. Do you understand? We go that, it's morning in Africa, or it's morning in Nigeria, it's nightfall in Australia. The way God does with each person is different. You know how people say it? That there is no trope, alright, with him. It will be the same way to the person who hates him. Hallelujah. That flushes out a lot of things, right? It will be the same way to the person who hates him. Okay? So the word shadow, that means turning, shadow. Shadow there is apple. You know, of course you don't scare, right? You don't scare now. Okay. Now this one is a different one. It's aposkiasma, A-P-O. There's skia, S-K-I-A, S-M-A, like sunset. You know, have you seen sunset? Sunset is what? Is fainty images. Do you understand? When you have sunsets, that aposkiasma describes fainty images. Like, okay, you will see things, you know, it's not like full light. You get what I'm talking about? You will see things, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, sunset. It says, you know, like I mentioned, the word trope describes earthly bodies. I mean, heavenly bodies. So, there's a sunset that, we can see things faintly, you know, that there are shades with him, where you have dim lights. And this is what we're going to say later, and we're going to explain, that when you talk about Old Testament folks not having the revelation of God, you know, there's a way we can say, God spoke to them in shadows. God doesn't speak in shadows. Do you understand? Because if God speaks in types and shadows, that means, this totally obliterates its contradiction. It says that it doesn't have that manner, that style. It does not. So, that said, let's just backtrack a bit and see how James had earlier described God. James 1:5. Do you know what I like about how James meant? I don't want to fight over James, though. I don't really. Because James has some of the most, maybe because he has some of the most practical explanations that I think a man can have. Look at the way he says, coming down from the Father. He lets you see something of lights. With whom there is no variable nature. That's the Father of lights. That anything that comes from him is light. Hallelujah. The Father of lights. So in James 1:5, it says, Look how he describes it. He says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. E.W. Kenyon skinned this verse so strongly. And I also did. And I repented. Well, you know you need wisdom, you like the verse. Let him ask of God, you know, who gives. Do you know there are two things he has said about God expressly? James 1:17. Doses. Dorema. It appears like there will be no time. Do you know that there's the only thing God takes away is sins. Hallelujah. And that taking away is a gift. The only thing he takes away is sin. Say, God took the brother home. Look at this. Who gives? Now look at that word give. Didomi. You remember Didomi? 416 times. Didomi means to offer. You know, Didomi does not mean that I'm going to put it on your head. To offer it. He makes it available. He gives to all. That's what I said. You know, this verse is good enough for an unbeliever to pray. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise God. There are things we'll teach in the coming days. I'll pray. You'll get it done. You'll get the answer. But the first person who ever asked God for something in the Bible was Cain. Right? And he didn't ask for the presence of God. He just talked. He just spoke. Was Cain. And was it granted? You'll find out yourself. So he gives to all liberally. Liberally will be what there? Liberally will be aplos. Aplos, A-P-H-A-P-L-O-S. It means it's simple, solely. Generous. It means not to have, again, it's kind of, it's liberal, that it doesn't have, it's predictable, it's sincere, that's what he's saying. Liberally. And upbraids not. Which is the word to find fault. And upbraids not. Now, the word upbraids not goes beyond finding fault. It's the word on idizo. That's one, O-N-E. Where it's spelled one. Then I-D-I-Z-O. Is used for insulting people. To abuse people. To insult. To make to look bad. You know, like who said, see you. Head of state. You've heard that before? That is one dizo. You'll find it used in Mark 15:32. Mark 16:14. Okay. Luke 6:22. 1 Peter 4:14. Matthew 5:11. Mark 15:32, remember, Mark 16:14, Luke 6:22, 1 Peter 4:14, Matthew 27:44, when they mocked Jesus, Matthew 11:20, and Matthew 5:11. So it's used to mock people, alright? Say he doesn't mock. So God does not mock. You know, if there's anybody that should mock, should be God, because I tell folks, like, there's no way you can say your faith impressed God. It can't happen like that. So he's explaining here that, look, he doesn't upbraid. So James presents a very clear picture to us of God. Go back again to James 1. So why would he say do not err? Remember, basically, do not err. Don't be misled. And that error can come from reading the scriptures. Do not err. Plan out. Which I said, it comes from knowledge. To go off course in your knowledge of God. So look at the background. The background says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. So it brings out certain things. Number one, he said every man is tempted when he's after his own desire. One man, then two desire. Then he mentions sin. drawn away. Then he mentions sin, when it is finished, now brings forth death. You won't find God in all those things. So he's not at the start, he's not in the middle, he's not at the end. Hallelujah. So, watch this. Just like Romans 5:12. Sin came by one man. You know, we can't think that the man just has sin. He just broke the rule and sin just hit him. Oh, we can see the process. There must be desire. Right? Then you must be drawn away after desire. Then, sin when it is finished, accomplished, in our word, produces death. So when it says, every good gift, so it's making a distinction between sin and its consequences from God, from the character of God. Who's following this? Are you following this? It's making a, you know, you can use James 1:17 quickly for every good gift. You buy a new car. You know, that's funny. That's not what we're talking about. You know, or you buy a house, or you buy a jet, or you marry a wife. You know? So, it says in verse 18. So, we have credit that 16 was a rider from 13 to 15. Is that clear? Is that clear? So now, read it on, that's why I said that. Sometimes you remove the verses. It says, do not err, my beloved brethren, every good giving. So, whatever he's describing from verse 13 is with man. It's not about things. He's describing God's relationship with man. Are you following me? He's not describing things. So listening. Of course, we can relate them with things afterward because we'll say, well, I mean, this is God's character and all that. But in strict sense here, he's not describing every good material thing. No. He's describing the character of God and what we found in man. They say what you have found in man is not of God. Are you following what I'm saying? Someone listen to this. That what you have found in man, that's why later on, you know, by the time you go to verse 19, we'll read verse 18 in a moment. He now says, therefore, very brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. There is no better way to silence Moses than what he just said. And it is James that said it. Hallelujah. The much vilified James. So, again, he's talking about in the character of God. In the character of God. That's why the next verse. Now, you have described God as what? Gives good, doesn't? No variableness, neither shadow of turn. There's no darkness at all. It doesn't have a bipolar image. He's not good to but noble father. Then he is indifferent to you. Then he's shining with you. You know, that kind of thing. But yeah, I have, that man has favor. He has favor. You know, he says, no. It's not like that. Hallelujah. Okay. So, verse 18 now says, of his own will. So, if you remove the verses, of his own will begat he us. So, he's saying, sinful man is not God's making. Are you following this? Who's listening? Is this clear? Sinful man is not God's making. Of his own will begat he us. So, can we say that he was teaching a new birth? Someone listening? Eh? Of his own will begat he us. The word will is bulomai. B-O-U-L-O-M-A-I. Of his own will begat he us. Look at the word begat. It's not the normal general. No. It's not. It's not the usual general that we have. It's the word apokueo, A-P-O-K-U-E-O. APOKUEO. Are you following? Listen very well. Though. This is you mustn't lose this. APOKUEO. Now, the way to know it is look at the root word. The root word is KUEO, which is from being pregnant. It's used for people that are pregnant to conceive. Of his own will, conceived us. So he's saying that God's conception of man is not the man that sinned. Are you listening? Are you following this? God's concept of his own will, let's change it, of his own desire, he conceived us. Is that a better way to say it? Would that be a better translation? Huh? Would that be a better translation? Of his own desire, that is, this is his desire. Now, we've already known who he is. Good, perfect. He's good in his giving. His gifts are perfect. He's the Father of lights. There is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What you see him do, whatever comes from him will carry his character. So he's saying to you, pay attention. Of his own will begat he us, apokeo. Interestingly, look at where he used the same word. That's how you know that James is describing the old man and the new man. The same word apokeo is used in verse 15. Look at it. Lust, when lust had conceived, it brings forth sin. That word conceived is the same word begat. So, of his own will conceived he us with the word of truth. Hallelujah. With the word of truth. That will be a kind of first fruit of his creature. Hallelujah. So the man born of the word is only evidence of what God does. Whatever you see in the new creature is God's own will. Does it make sense? So what was James describing? Was James describing blessings or persons? Huh? Talk to me. Blessings or persons? Good. So, that's why the next thing he says, be slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. The law of Moses does not work the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. So, James is laying a foundation here about the new creation man. New creation man is a kind of the first fruit. Now, the word first fruit is aparche. You know aparche? A-P-A-R-C-H-E. Its aparche is a proof of the harvest. So, of his own will be gathered to the one or two, that will be a kind of the proof of his creature. So this, the man who is born again, is the proof of God's creature. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? So, he's describing the man born again and natural man. That's why Jesus discovered that. But in God chapter 3, that word above was used also for wisdom that descends from above and the one that comes from the earth. Talking about the natural man and then the born again man. That's there. Exactly. That's exactly what's described in James 1. Amen. Is it clear? Okay. You know, it's back of the is so funny. You see how you can easily lose what he's saying by thinking he's talking about every good gift and perfect gift. Oh, hallelujah. I have a good gift and perfect gift. But James just wondering, and read this in well. I'm not talking about a good suit or a good car or a good wristwatch. I'm talking about born again. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the good giving is God. Praise God. What will be the gift? Huh? What will be the dorima there? That is beneficial to us. Huh? What? Look at James 1 again. 18. Of his own will begat us with what? With what? So what do you think would be the gift? Huh? I'll leave you. Look at it yourself. So, Luke 9. So, two things now. James is describing, and the point is, why James has to say this, and why James is saying it's good, because everything we have known about God is in man. Is that what men said? So James is making a clarity here. You can't know God in man's wrath. You can't know God in man's desires. You can't know God in man's drawn away appeals. You can only know God in the new creature. Amen. Are you there? So go to Luke 9. We'll come back to Luke 9. So here's Jesus where we were before. Why did Jesus rebuke these folks? They said, just like Elijah, command us or allow us that we should command that fire should come down. Look at the word down. To come down from heaven. And what did Jesus rebuke? Jesus did not rebuke heaven. He didn't rebuke fire. He rebuked them. Let me say this quickly. I'm still going to come here. When the Bible says he rebuked them, do you know that what he did was to stop them actually? That means it was possible. We'll see it later. He stopped them. He stopped them. And he says, you know not what spirit you are of. You know, he said, you know not what fire is for. You know, you don't know what heaven is for. You don't know what spirit you are of. Why did he say this? Because we're going to see in a moment that what if not the most delicate misunderstanding of man was about the spirit. Or things in the spirit. Go again to 1 Corinthians 2:9. Put yourself in 1 Corinthians 2:9. Matthew 13:17. Luke 10:20. We have cleared something. In him is no variableness, parlage, nor shadow of turning, trope, or aposchiasma, no shadow of turning. So if we say that, why then is he say, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God, that Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 64 verse 4, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Matthew 13:17. Jesus was telling the disciples that there's a heard and see these things and hears and hear these things. Said, there are many prophets and kings that desire to see these things that you see, and they didn't see them, to hear those things that you hear, and they didn't hear them. Luke 10:20. Go to Luke 10:20. Luke 10:21. O Father, Lord of heaven, not 20, 21. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for a single desire. That's a big confusion because you cannot say you don't have darkness when you are hiding something. Hallelujah. The process of hiding on its own is what? That's darkness. Hiding something is already a skia. S-K-I-A. But we must take cognizance from realities. Romans 5, 12. Sin enters the world and death by sin. So death passes upon all men, for all have sinned. So death passed. Okay? So that means death was with man, and death was a function of man's sin, and it was upon all. So mark that somewhere, come back there. But John, look at First John, you know, James has sorted out his character. Hallelujah. John himself sorted his character by saying the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was being with God, all things were made by him. In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines. So that describes the character of God. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So, you can't be the light and then be the darkness. Because hiding is what? A mystery. Pay attention now. A mystery is a function of darkness. So if God doesn't have a bipolar image, he can't be the one concealing. Okay? That is, concealing instead of makes it difficult for people to see. And then he is also the one revealing. That's bipolar. I don't know whether you are following what I'm saying. Now look at this. 1 John 1:5. Let's read it together. Huh? 1 John 1:5. Let's read it together. Look at John 1:5 and 1 John 1:5. You know they say the same thing. In him was life, life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and darkness couldn't compare. Talk about light. Look at 1 John 1:5. Read it. God is what? And in him, look at the word darkness, scotia. Scotia is used 16 times in New Testament Greek. 16 times. Let's run through it. John 1:5. The light shines in darkness, and darkness couldn't compare. 2 times. Matthew 10:27 and Luke 12:3. Matthew 10:27 and Luke 10:3. What I tell you in darkness, speak you in light. And what you hear in the air, preach ye upon the housetops. The darkness here is not physical. Luke 12:3 is the same thing. John 1:5, is the darkness there physical? Huh? The light shines in darkness. Is it physical? Good. Okay. Now, but John 6:17, it was now dark, and Jesus was now come to death. This is literal. It was dark. John 6:17, and then verse 20 as well. No, not 20. Oh, 20. 20, though, I read 20 for your purpose. 20, where it says, and they were now afraid. That shows you the function of darkness. They were afraid because they didn't know it was him. Are you following me? This helps us understand what darkness is like. This is the same Jesus they've known. So, it's now dark. I know in those days, the only lights they had were naturally generated, like when you have to, you know, makes, you know, you can't have bulbs. So imagine a country. Look at how bad it is where there is no light. Now imagine there is no light actually. And all we have are maybe candles and stuff like that. They are now at the sea. That's not the place where you will use atopa. You get it? Atopa is lantern or stuff like that. So imagine they were now seeing someone coming and just his clothes. You know, that's how darkness is. They now became afraid of someone they had known. Why were they afraid? They did not know it was him. That's the function of darkness. And this is where physical darkness explains it. Now quickly, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. He that walks with me, follows me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Shall not walk in darkness. John 12:28, I believe. John 12:35. A little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness comes upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. He does not know. So darkness speaks a lot about ignorance. 1 John 1:5, we've read that. In him is no darkness at all. So in him is no ignorance. First John 2:8. I command you that which thing is true in him and in you, because, hallelujah, I like this. The darkness is what? Past. Look at it. The darkness is what? Past. And the true light now shines. Verse 9. He that said is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even till now. The darkness is past. Verse 11. He that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goes, because the darkness had blinded his eyes. The darkness has blinded his eyes. So he will tell you in verse 12. I write this to you because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. That's important. So he's now saying to us, so it's kind of darkness as a spiritual state, okay? Is it clear? That you can't find, so darkness is not in the atmosphere, it is in man. Okay? Is there any darkness in God? No. He says there is, in him is no darkness at all. I like the word at all. The word at all is the Greek word hoidemia. Houdemia. It's an absolute term. That is absolutely. It is absolutely light. It's not when it chooses to lighten things. No. It's absolute light. Hallelujah. So, how then would we say he hid things? No, he didn't. Always read that contextually. Do you know that when it says, I have nothing, he has not heard? Okay, well, then let's go into that. Look at Luke 10. So in him, so God doesn't do hide and seek. You have hid these things from the prudent and the wise, and I reveal them unto babes, even so, Father, as it seemed good in your sight. All things are delivered to me, to my Father, of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal. Now, what's he discussing? Notice what he says. He now says in verse 23, blessed are your eyes which see these things, which see the things you see. I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them. And hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. What's he talking about? Let's look at that word eat. 1 Corinthians 2:7. He calls it the hidden wisdom. Hidden wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2:7. Again, where is darkness? So when he says, Genesis 1:3, let there be light, darkness over, just know that what Moses was saying was the man who wasn't born again. Genesis was both literal and physical things. I mean, figures of speech. And I believe I've explained this word. He says, the wisdom in the mystery, hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Hidden. Ephesians 3:9. Paul, Ephesians 3:9, which from the beginning was hid in God. Hid in God. So where is it hidden? In God. Imagine it is hidden in light. Hallelujah. How can something be hidden in light? Ephesians 3:9. Colossians 1:26. The word is apokrupto, apokrupto. Apokrupto. Colossians 1:26. The mystery which has been hid from ages and generations, which is now made manifest to the saints. So, where is it hid? It's hid in him. Do you get it? Do you understand? It's hidden in him. The reason why it is hid is because man is where? In. So the hiding is a function of what? man's nature. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? Now, let me give you an instance. If somebody is natural, if somebody is black, is cannot see, okay, and then you wore a dark shirt or a white shirt, you are not covering yourself. You are not running from the person. But the reason why he can't see you, why it is hid, is because he cannot see. Are you following what I'm saying? Just like I described before, darkness. Jesus was hidden from them. Not because Jesus was hiding from them. It was because there was an atmosphere of what? Darkness. So the hiding is the spiritual atmosphere of man. That's why he says, he revealed them unto who? Babes. So the only way out is faith. When Jesus talks about babes, he's talking about faith. The only way out. You know why he says, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That is not given. Why does he say unto you it is given to know? The knowing is because they believe. So that in hearing, they will not hear. See, unless they believe and then are converted. So, believing is the access. Faith. I know. Faith will mean I will not rely on my senses. I will not rely on my perception. So, everybody who has known God is by not relying on their perception. Who's following what I'm saying? Let me see if I follow what I'm saying. Are you getting this? So that's fundamental. So whatever is hidden is man's perception. God did not hide from man. Look at what Jesus said. He said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You know what the difference is? Let me ask you a question. If Jesus decided to say those things, you know, they will make a mess of it. Why? Because they cannot bear it. So he needed to give them the spirit of truth so that they can understand. Hallelujah. See how... Okay, this is... I'll explain this more in Genesis 6. Sorry, because there's something I have to take out of this teaching for a purpose. Now, go back to Luke 9. What did Jesus say they did not know? Huh? I mean, he's been with them. Look, see their state. He's with them. And they were comparing his ministry with that of Elijah. Because you say, Elijah healed the sick. So you are healing the sick. It's the same anointing. There are no reason. Know ye not the spirit that you are of? So if there's any problem, is in discerning spirits. Know ye not? And he rebuked them. We'll come to that. So go back to Luke 9. Amen. Know ye not that the spirit that you are of? Did you notice that they said, without that we command fire to come from heaven. Now, without running anywhere, heaven is not exclusive to God. The term heaven is not exclusive to God. Depending on what I've taught this over and over again. Depending on what you are talking about. For example, look at Jesus' parables. Jesus' parables will have man. Right? His parables will have man's activities. And he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And his parables will also have Satan in heaven. Matthew 13. Look at verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man. Look at this. It's like a man sowed good seed into his field. And while men slept, verse 25, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Imagine. It mentions the enemy. The dominant things. No, you know, when it mentions, you know, it talks about angels. Are you there? The enemy. Man. Things. Man's heart. Man's words. And man's actions. In fact, Ephesians 6:12 talks about wicked spirit in heaven. So, when they said, let us command fire from heaven, it's not that fire cannot come. In that context, we'll see that, you know, just don't rush. But look at this. So heaven is not exclusive. Heaven is not, pay attention to this. When you hear heaven, you know, based on theology, the man of theology, heaven, it is somebody's vision. Heaven is somewhere you now go, particularly when people die. They will now go there. Say, the guy went to heaven. Or Robert Lerdin, I saw heaven. Interestingly, I think I'm coming to agree with him. When he said he saw hand, leg, nose, kidney, liver, he might be right. But which heaven? So let's examine that one. Because when he says fire from heaven, we need to know what's heaven. The word heaven is 278 times uses the word Uranos. O-U-R-A-N-O-S. O-U-R-A-N-O-S. In diverse forms, it is used for the sky or things above. Now, the reason why the sky is its best analogy is because really, heaven describes an atmosphere of air. Air. And that's the way the Greek puts it. An atmosphere of air. The atmospheric part of the earth. Above. Uranus. So that already tells us something basic. Heaven describes the atmosphere of spirits. We'll see that. Somebody following? Go to Ephesians 6:12. Are you learning something? Don't forget, what did Jesus rebuke? They did not know the Spirit. So, the Spirit determines the heaven. Praise God. Are you there? Look at Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Look, are you there? Let's get together. And against what? Against power. What we got? Against spiritual wickedness. Look at the word spiritual. Don't go around the spirit of the spirit. Okay? Spiritual wickedness in what? The word high. Is the word Uranus, heaven. Because, so when it says the Spirit, go back to chapter 2. We're dead in trespasses and sins, and walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, look at what air, of the air. Then it says the spirit. Look at the word air. The word air is the Greek word air. It's A-E-R, air. It's used for breath or to blow. The unseen. Breath or to blow. The writers were careful not to use it for pneuma. I don't know why anyway, but air. Air. You see it in Acts 22:23. 1 Corinthians 9:26. I fight as one that beats the air, beats the unseen. Unseen. Unseen to the physical eye. Acts 22:23. And see with the two dots into the Acts 23, 1 Corinthians 9, 26, then 1 Corinthians 4, 9. 1 Corinthians 4, 9. First Thessalonians 4, 7. No, 1 Corinthians 14, 9 speaks into the air, into the unseen. Then 1 Thessalonians 4, 7. Talking about, this is very vital. Because 1 Thessalonians 4, 7. I think you should turn to this one. Thank you. All right. Then we shall be alive, shall be caught up with together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The air that is unseen. Shall we ever be with the Lord? In the unseen. You see Revelation 9 to Revelation 16, 7. The unseen. So what it says, the spirit that now walks. Okay? The prince of the power of the unseen. Are you there? The spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. So, let's come back to that Luke 9. Will thou that we call fire from heaven? Is it clear now? Huh? They were asking for a spiritual exploit. Jesus didn't say it was not possible. He just told them, don't you know what? The Spirit. So heaven is about what? Spirit. So let me ask you, as we are here right now, do we have heaven here? Yes. So it's which heaven? Hallelujah. Is it making sense? Huh? Okay. Now watch this. This is Bible. So he's saying, which heaven are you calling this from? Therefore we must rebuke every destruction, even if it comes from heaven. We must. So let's hear Paul. Galatians 1. Galatians 1, 8. Are you learning something? And though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. From heaven. And he preaches. So he's saying that an angelus, a messenger from the Spirit, which many people have turned to books. In fact, my study of world religions, because I study world religions, one day I'll teach it at LMA. But no, so that virtually all world religions came from Galatians 1:8. There will be a spiritual something. Somebody saw something at the rock. Somebody had an encounter. He has been in the bush for 40 days. The way somebody was born, an angel appeared to his mother. You know? Paul is saying, doesn't really matter. The issue is, what did he preach? Hallelujah. Let him be accursed. Now, the word accursed, it doesn't mean that Paul is referring to cursing. The same way we have said that, but he said, no, Jesus cursed. Jesus did not curse. It was the writer that said he cursed, because that's the language he understands. Do you understand? It was the writer who said, the tree, in fact, it was Peter that said, the tree that you cursed. And who else would say it but Peter? As withered away. Do you get it? The word accursed is the word anathema. A-N-A. T-H-E-M-A. Anathema does not mean And I think that simply means separated. 1 Corinthians 12:3. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Romans 9:3. Paul says he would for his brethren, Israel, that he be separated. That is, he be seen as something that cannot be touched. 1 Corinthians 16:22. Let him be anathema maranatha. Now, look at what describes this a bit better. That word anathema. Look at Acts 23:14. Doesn't mean you now pick it up. We declare anybody against this ministry. Let them be accursed. Let their judgment be caught fire. Is any challenge that we see now? I was talking to the pastor earlier today. Say, there's any challenge we have now is to separate the wheat from the chaff. The same way EW Kenyon materials were used by people to preach materialism, to preach all sorts. They even, because of believers' authority there, they are using it to kill people. EW Kenyon materials is the same way now. Finished works is Christ. And you are saying finished works, and you are still doing false fruit. You are doing prophet offering. You are doing for a miracle. You are doing communion. You are doing deliverance, baptism. Who will allow it? You will see. Just watch. How was I? Acts 23:14. What did those guys do? They what? Huh? The guys that Acts 23:14. It's so unfair. You will take a material that was taught in the spirit of grace, and you will take it to be making money. 14. And they came to chief priests and elders and said, we bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. What is it? That is, we separated ourselves. That's what it means. So that nobody would touch us till we have slain Paul. Now, when he says, if any preach another gospel, let him be what? Don't touch him. That's what it means. Do you get it? Don't touch him. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Does it make sense? Huh? Does it make sense? Okay. So go back to Luke 9. So what did Jesus do? Something that amazed me here, and it intrigued me a couple of years back when I started looking at this verse more. What intrigued me was that Jesus did not take what they said lightly. And I'm wondering, my Lord Jesus, these are the exploits of the Old Testament. This is what makes it. Some say, we want powers of old. That's what they're talking about. Powers of old. That where is the power? That where Moses went before Pharaoh, can't you see? Snake came out. One snake digested the other snake. Say, one power of all who can look into the eyes of the governor, and the man begins to shake. And I'm thinking, these are the exploits of the Old Testament. What makes it power? Well, you say, that's why some people like Elijah and Elisha. Just, you know why they like them. Because of the ruthlessness they had. So we'll see. Why did Jesus rebuke this guy? He didn't just, you know, there are things they will say stupidly that you keep quiet. I feel him. But this one, like Pastor Wally will say, Jesus power. He really got angry. What in the world did you guys say? I mean, you want to identify me with such a spirit? And the word rebuke there is epitimao. Whenever epitimao is used, it's not just to talk. Say, he rebuked to make to feel bad. But this one is epitimao. Epitimao actually means to stop something. So that thing was possible. He actually stopped it. And the teaching of the realities of the New Testament, hear me, is to stop those things. And they will be stopped. Hallelujah. Epitomal is stop them. That means it could happen. Now, let me ask you. What they were asking for was from the Spirit. Right? Why did Jesus stop them in the earth? Because anything that happens in the Spirit is occasioned from the earth. Let me say this. It will amaze you. That some will say the spirit realm is higher. Not necessarily. It depends on what you are talking about. Things are actually the way it was seen that made it that way. That's why in redemption, Jesus says that whatever you do on earth is done in the spirit. Either. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you do on earth is done in the spirit. So Jesus rebuked those guys. Are you there? So man is in the spirit, right? Does it make sense? Huh? And man is located here on earth. So the earth, is it clear to you now when we say that the earth and the heaven are the same? Huh? That, you get it? So what we do on earth affects the spirit. Man is in heaven. Look at that, Matthew 16. Let's probably just run through it quickly. Matthew 16. I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Notice that. Of the kingdom of heaven, verse 19. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That statement wasn't just said once. He repeated the same thing in 18:18. And you know 18:18 was talking about forgiveness. Remember that? Whatever we bind is bound. He's talking about forgiveness. Losing forgiveness and binding unforgiveness, basically. Praise God. Now see this. So whatever we stop, how do you stop things in the spirit? You do it on earth. How do you allow things in the spirit? You do it on earth. Let me see if I'm following you. Let me see. Is this getting clear to you? Now, the word heaven is clear to you now. Huh? Good. So, man is in heaven. So, we can say like this. The atmospheric heaven is to us a figure of speech. Huh? It's a figure of speech. That is the atmospheric heaven right now. It's a figure of speech of what heaven means. Heaven means an atmosphere of spiritual activities that can include a place. Is it clear? Hmm? Does it make sense? Huh? Okay, so look at Jesus in John 3:8. The wind, see how he describes it. The wind blows where it listed. Look at John 3:8. Are you there? Let's read it again. John 3:8. The wind blows. You what? Pay attention. You what? Go on. You can hear the sound, but you do not. What you can't tell where. Where? By in the natural you can't. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Notice that when he says you can hear the sound. That's important. It's a pointed explanation. So to see how those things happen, we must investigate creation a bit more. We want to investigate creation a bit more. Why? How? Because Jesus, the way Jesus said, don't do it. That is, you know, he didn't say anything. He just said, keep quiet. Say, Lord, who is that we command fire? And And you know the way he goes, don't ever. You know, that means that they were at the verge of doing it. I don't know how we'll have explained that in a way. Spoilers International. I believe that if they had done this, Jesus would have stayed another 30 years. To clean up the nonsense. Because people will die. How? I can't imagine it. I can't imagine what they will have done. Look at the least bit. You know, Peter will have killed Marcus. It was God who got the air. I don't think anybody targets the air. He'll go for the head. So let's see Genesis account a bit more. Now, in Genesis accounts, okay, you discover that most of what put people at a perplexity are the figures of speech. The figures of speech. I grew up reading this book by Jehovah's Witnesses, my book of Bible stories, where Adam and Eve, they saw apple. And the way even Pentecostal have no doctrine anyway, so is anything that works, you know, if it's too, if anything, you know. So I thought, it was for years, the earth, nobody could tell us what the fruit was. You know, so everyone came up that it was sex. A couple of things. But it's not difficult to know that. In that book, it was a mixture of literal and figure of speech. I know I've explained this before. You know, how you will know it is as you study on, you will see characters that were repeated. And you will see characters that were changed. The ones that were changed obviously shows that there was just a figure of speech in Genesis. Now, but I don't know what the people they were. They ate apple. I said, don't let's be funny. Look at what Jesus said in Mark 7. Mark 7. Mark 7. I'll just tell you the nature of visions in a moment. Are you so without understanding? Verse 18. You know, they were talking about people who are not washing their hands. How can you eat without washing hands? You know. He said, are you so without understanding? Do you not perceive? I mean, so simple. Are you there? Do you not perceive? Let's see together now. Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enters into a man, it cannot defile him? That is, how can you think fruit will defile a man? You know, and they would have thought it's true. Because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly, and goes into the drought, purging all meat. That is, you understand, you will pull it. That's just simple, right? That word drought is a Greek word, aphedron, in case you want to see what the drought means. A-P-H-E-D-R-O-N. It means latrine. So it's poo-poo things, toilet. So if Adam had eaten a fruit, just go and use the toilet, you would have been okay. Do you understand? It says it's not what a man takes. Rather, Jesus says that which comes is what comes out of him that defiles him. That's really strange. Not what comes into his physical body. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. You know that this is what James said. Are you there? So the two trees will be what? Man's choices. Will stand for man's choices of his thoughts. Then the fruit will be what? His words. Now let me ask you. Physical things, they are spiritual. If you were to show Moses, how best could you have done it? That's the only way. You will draw it. How do you draw thoughts? How do you draw words? You will have to use pictorial explanations. Are you there? Are you following me? If you have to show Moses. So, the two trees are from man. Man's desire. That's the nature of visions. Do you see how we have cleared up, by just what I've said now, do you see how we have cleared up a lot of problems? Are you following what I'm saying? God created two trees. One was not good and evil. God, the reason why it's a sin is because God didn't want man to take it yet. That's even a good one. Some people on international television say the tree of knowledge of good and evil is type. That is called first fruit. That was the first fruit in humanity. That first fruit belongs to God. Are you people not satisfied? You have jets, you have estates, and you are still collecting this thing. You know, as funny as it sounds, you know, it's not really funny to paint that humanity had this problem because we did not give to God. It's a shame. It's not light. That there are two things that God, that tree of life is salvation. That there are two things that are important to God: salvation and tithing. Give no little here. Is it difficult? A guy was on TV. He said that the people are going to give, up, that they don't give, that means you'll be off air. I'm thinking, you have a jet, sell it now. I don't know why it teaches us that. It teaches us that you give up. You have not given on. You have Rolex, this watch. Give it. Sure. So, look at that. That's the nature of visions. That's why when Paul says, and does not, and preach another gospel, because that's the nature of how things come. Look at Acts 10. Let's take it a bit closer. Look at Acts 10. Verse 14 to 15. Would you have imagined that kill and eat animals is saying preach to the Gentiles? Does it mean kill the Gentiles and eat them? Hallelujah. So, that's the nature of visions. The Gentiles are not supposed to be eating. Are you there? But look at, so the visions, after Peter was through with the visions, I will see why that vision was like that. He doubted in himself what the vision could have meant. Because that's exactly what Genesis has done to many people. And I'll tell you why it's like that. Amen. Look at verse 19. The Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Clear. We say three animals. Arise. Get thee down. Look at this one. This one says, wait, oh. 13. Rise, kill, and eat. Rise and get down, doubting nothing. I've sent them. Please, are they the same thing? Do you know that the vision and this are to be saying the same thing? But see where the vision went to. Kill and eat. So imagine the stress we have been through in Genesis. See how many things the Spirit just said. In how many words? In like three sentences. Arise, kill and eat. Don't forget, arise, kill and eat came after four-footed beast had come down. You have seen? That's why the story is that big. You will be lost. You know, if you are to do what we do today, just go and say, thank you, Father, and you go and be looking for four-footed beasts. That's not what he's saying. That's the nature of visions. And that's why we teach that visions are the lowest type of revelation. Meanwhile, that's what we're pride in. Ah! Yeah! 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 Ah, that man can see. That man can see. I learned of some folks from a particular country. They go to one place like that to collect jars. So, by the time they come to the local church, they'll begin to see visions. And people begin to drop money. In fact, there are other worse things that your ears should not hear them. They are born again. And I said, I told the pastor 2 days ago, I said, you know why they are shining? It's because that people are not teaching God's word. If everybody knows that the revelation of the word is the highest kind of revelation, nobody will celebrate people like that. If you like, see how, count number of hair on my head. When you are through, please open the Bible. By the time we do that, they will stop going to collect jars. Do you understand what I'm saying? But by the time we also like, I was somewhere in 1991. Not that it's not a program, not as if I attended though. I was going for, it was this break. For the breaks, I was going for a lesson. His lesson. And if he said, we're walking home. I just saw this guy. This is Samson Zakaria. Chris Lampard. So, me and my cousins were, the guy called the woman, and the woman came out. And the woman became a bird. I said, hey! And he said this. He called her back. And my cousin said, God is powerful. I laughed. But she said, he was captivating. And that's how to catch natural man. And I told them, I was the mess boy, the government, you know what I'm saying, or Professor Pella's son. I've seen those things before. He told me, he said, come here. He said, go and bring a matchbox. I bought it myself. He said, I should empty it. I was already did it. He said, I should put all the matchsticks inside his cupboard. I did. He said, I should open the thing. I saw everything back. You know, if it was one that did it, I would have said this something. No, it wasn't a trick. I saw it. Look at me. He said, don't mess with me. I was, he did it also in, what you call this in endo. Do you endo your school? You know lit. You know endo? Ah, sorry. I'm very sorry. End of the year party. I attended one. You know. So, he brought out, just brought out something like this, a sword. Wow. Then we did the sword, he saw a bird. He took the bird again, it became a sword. It was in my presence. I was like, as it started, rain started to fall. His eyes changed. Now, me, I had seen it because I was laughing. Ha, it's going to show me. He told me, he said, don't mess with me. And I didn't. The guy will eat all the food. I will look at it. So I say, Onoeka, you are giving me all the egg. I say, yes, it's our senior. In my presence. Okay, let's go on. How did I get here? Help me out. Yeah, look at the nature of visions. Look at the Spirit said clearly. So, words are clearer than pictures. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Words are what? Than pictures. Now, imagine the stress we have been through because of the book of Revelation. It's the same thing. Meanwhile, some people are doing a lifetime ministry of book of Revelation. I'm wondering, for what? You know? So words are clearer than pictures. Now look at how Paul explains that Romans 5:12. Through one man, sin entered into the world. Chicken. Through one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin, so that death passed upon all. Isn't that clear? Huh? Is that not clear? See how James explains it. Desire, lust, sin, death. You know it's clearer to you. You know it's clearer to you. Now, the tree will keep confusing you. That's why they use it for tithe. And they are not just, they are not going to the way they are going to. You get it? So, Romans 5:12 presents us a picture. We want to investigate Genesis account. That's why I said Romans 12 presents a picture. Sin entered into the world. Esekomai, you know what that is. And death by sin. What is the sin? Do you know that the first mention of sin in the entire Genesis was Genesis 4? You won't even hear sin at all, Genesis 3. So, pictures conceal so much. What exactly was the sin? Fornication? With who? Adultery? With who? Lying? To who? Stealing? Stealing what? You get it? Nothing like that was in the picture. Yet, this is the sin. Hallelujah. See where our minds have been on the subject of sin. I don't know what I'm saying here. So I was saying something one day. He said, our forefathers, Adam and Eve. I said, your forefather. Your forefather. What sin? Paul was clear. Whatever sins they will be, must come from man's thoughts. It must come from man's desires. Now, look at Romans 5. Paul was very clear. Romans 5, verse 19. One man's disobedience. Disobedience. That's what he called it. One man's disobedience. Which is the word? Parakohe. Parakohe, P-A-R-A-K-O-E, is from akohe, A-K-O-E, a message. To leave a message. Para, beside a message. To not hear. Or to not heed. That's why in talking about Adam, he uses words like trespass, which is the word paraptoma, P-A-R-A-P-T-O-M-A, which is used 21 times. It means a step, a slip up. It's a particular action. It's an action. Pay attention here. It's an action. So, that action is called not to heed a message. Not to heed a message. So, we must know what the message is. It's not difficult. I've asked this question many times. Did God ever expect man to always do perfect things? No. No. It's a wrong thinking. Look at Genesis chapter 2 verse 1. It's not difficult. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Pay attention to the words he used. Genesis 2:1-3 creates a picture like God stopped walking. So he says the heaven and the earth, they were finished. You will see in a moment how God never planned that to relate with man out of man's perfection. Look at that word. The heavens and the earth, they were finished. Is the Hebrew word kala. Kala. Kala is the same word telio, to accomplish. Kala is used 204 times. Then he says, God rested from his work, verse 2. I love the word work. The word work is the Hebrew word meleka, M-E-L-E-K-A-H, M-E-L-A-K-H, from Malak. Malak is M-A-L-A-K. It's used 167 times. When you hear the word work, it means occupation. 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 God finished from his own, erected from his occupation. Now again, Bible interpretation will tell you that this, if it has an explanation in the epistles, we'll look at what it means. So he says God rested on the seventh day. That word rest is 9 times in the Hebrew. No, not the Hebrew, sorry. The word rested, which has an expression in Hebrews 4, pardon me, verse 3 to 4. The key word is rest. Rest. Now, that word rest, aside from the book of Hebrews, is only used once elsewhere. It's the word katapausis. K-A-T-A-P-A-U-S-I-S. Katapausis. Put your hands in Genesis 2. Don't leave Genesis 2. Go to Hebrews 4. Katapausis. Katapausis was first used earlier. Was earlier used in Acts 7:49. What house will you build me, said the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? So, place of my rest, where I will stay. So, rest, where it says to cease, I'll come to that later. To cease, Hebrews 4, see how Hebrews 4 explains it. As I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, if they shall not enter. For God, now it says, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this day, of the seventh. Now, seventh day, no, the Lord day isn't there. On this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place, if they shall enter into my rest. So, that rest was for who? Huh? That rest was for who? It's for man. Therefore, it remained that some must enter in. To whom it was first preached, entered not in because of unbelief. Notice, because of what? Unbelief. Now, verse 8. If Joshua had given them rest, then would it not have spoken afterward of another day? There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into, that's Israel. His rest. He has ceased from his own works as God from his. So that cease from his works was for man. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man falls after the same example of unbelief. Are you there? Are you following this? So the word that word rest is used for, watch this, to calm storms. To calm winds. To calm winds. To stop trouble. It's used to calm storms. Catapulses. Now, how? What did God say should happen? Look at the word. There's a word. After the word, wait, please. After the word rest. What else is more consistent with the word rest? Did you notice it? Verse 1, entering in. Chapter 3, verse 19, to enter in. Chapter 3, verse 18, to enter in. 4:3, enter in. Somebody following this? 4:5, enter in. 4:6, enter. Somebody following this? 4:10, enter into his rest. 4:11 to enter. Eisekomai. It's a choice. What entered into man? Sin. What was man supposed to enter into? Somebody listen. Are you following? What did Adam not enter into?
Rest.
What entered into man? The same word, esekomai. So, sin and rest was a choice. Do you notice that? The wrath was after unbelief. It was when they did not enter in that the wrath was sin. Do you know also that the law was given when they did not enter into it, when they did not believe the gospel? So you cannot have death without life. You can't have sin without the rest of God. So, somebody listen here. Are you following this? So Romans 5, sin entered into the world. What was rest? Rest was a promise. Hebrews 4:1. The promise left over. What is the word promise? Epagelia. Look at Hebrews 4:1. It's going to make sense in a moment. Hebrews 4:1. Hebrews 4:1. Are you there? Read it together. Let's read it together. Let's what? The promise. What is the word promise? Epagelia. Something God would do by himself. Something he will do by himself. Okay? Epagelia. Now look at what he uses. Lest any of you should what? Come short. How would you come short? Short of it, which is the word hystereo, H-U-S-T-E-R-O, is the same word in Romans 6:23. For all have sinned and come short. That come short, please look at this. I want you to do this. How is by unbelief. Unbelief is to come short. So, what was the sin that entered into man? What is the unbelief? I didn't hear you. Not entering into what God had finished. Now, go back to Genesis 2. Are you hearing something? So, can you explain Adam's sin? You see why it is? It can't be that because Adam's sin will be sinned. Adam's sin, we are all sinners. No. Unbelief is a choice. Praise God. When we say a man has a nature of sin, let's leave it. Genesis 2. Look at Genesis 2. Are you there? Is Genesis 2 getting clear to you? When it says, God finished the heavens and the earth, is it clear? Is it clear? And now entered into rest. We find out that rest is man's rest. Okay? So, what is the rest? What is not the rest? What will make man not enter the rest? Unbelief. Unbelief is to come short of the rest. So, what is the rest? Genesis 2. Verse 3. He blessed the seventh day and sanctified. I taught this one in holiness, which is where you have the word Shabbath. Shabbath. Okay? Now that was he rested. Okay. He rested. I never gave you the meaning of the word rested in the Hebrew. It's the word Shabbath, which means to stop. Stop. That's what it means. Cease. Okay? And the way the Jews made it look like, well, when it's Sabbath, whatever you have done wrong, you let it go. You cease. We don't hold you for what you have done. You begin to eat from another person's labor. That's how they could pick it up. Now, go back to Genesis and see. God said, this is my plan. That means he was never setting man up for failure. Are you following what I'm saying? God's dealing with man was not, you have to do everything perfectly. He said, look, you will walk in my rest. So are you listening? Are you listening? So sanctify the Kodesh in the Hebrew. He made it separate. Kodesh is the word, make different. So he made it different. So Adam's sin wasn't, although it was not any, it was not morality at all. At all. It was not morality. Or it was not by morality. That's why, did you notice that the first fruit of that system was fear? Fear. Things that we don't even reckon with today, that he was afraid. Don't follow what I'm saying here. He was afraid. So a system came, okay, and death reigned. Now, go back to Romans 5, because let's just quickly see a few things. That's why Romans 5:14 says that death reigned upon even those who did not have the similitude of Adam's transgression. We'll examine that later. Amen. Okay, quickly go to Hebrews 4 one more time. Hebrews 4:3. The first statement. Huh? So if we have believed, we what? Believe what? Verse 2. The gospel. The good news. So, is the gospel an afterthought of sin or a previous sin? Huh? Someone listening? It's very key you get that. So go back to Genesis. Genesis 3 or 2 first. So, what did God sanctify? A day of faith. Huh? Faith. It made faith different. Faith is not a movement. Hallelujah. It sanctified faith. We which have believed enter. So we enter by faith. You don't enter by unbelief. So, what two things do we see in Genesis? Faith and what? Unbelief. The tree of knowledge of good and evil will be what? Unbelief. So go back to Genesis again. Now, a very faulty premise of Genesis accounts, what we want to explore in a moment. I've told you look at how far we have to go to explain Genesis 2, 1 and 3. See how far. But you know that the question was so simple. Why you are thinking like this? Because you have the book of Bible stories in your head and all sorts of things. And that's what visions do. You buy so many pages. Visions. Tomorrow, we'll go through the whole Bible. Tomorrow's session. And with the whole Bible, there's no way we're going to do exhaustively tomorrow. But I reserve that one for tomorrow. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now, look at the weakness of this account. Again, come back to that Romans, Acts 10. Don't forget. You want to say, preach to Cornelius. How does that say, preach to Cornelius? Now bring four-footed beast. Kill and eat. And you know what? The language in that vision was like a threat. Whatever I have called, whatever God has called. It was like I said something and, somebody you have not even explained things to. In the sense of the law. Maybe because Peter has been around. So whatever I'm called, that's the nature of visions. You can't rely on them. Amen. So, did you notice that in Moses' account of Genesis, and this is, I see this is the mother. Okay, Moses did not imply He didn't even give us an allusion or anything to the creation of angels. You will know why. He didn't. And I call, this is the mother of this legend that Satan was once in heaven with God. He was a choir master. This is the mother of that theory. In fact, I was listening to a teaching years back. The thing looked funny, but was appealing. And I preached it. You know something that you just like the way it sounds, and you go and re-preach it. There are 3 W's in heaven. There were 3 W's in heaven. Michael the warrior. Gabriel the worthy. Lucifer the worshipper. Brethren, there's a 3rd W missing in heaven. That's why Jesus said, the Father, sing and true worshippers is missing Lucifer. Let's make the devil mad. Without thinking like a fool. You just said, brethren, I said it in a very holy term. Brethren, do you know how important worship is to God? And then you think about it, but worship. Brethren, God loves worship. He desires worship. Worship. I don't know, guys. Worship. And we're moving away from worship. And you're thinking about it, worship. You worship him. You're always asking and asking. He's saying, when will you worship me? My sins are forgiven. I follow this now. This is the mother of it. Moses did not, yet he did. It's just the way he said it. Notice again, what was, please pay attention, please. God finished, right? Tell you, accomplished. Quickly look at it. Let's look at Genesis 2:1. Thus the heavens and the earth were what? Heavens, plural. Are you there? Go on. And all the host of them. The word host is the word sabah in the Hebrew. T-S-A-B-A. Is used for army. Are you there? Host. Sabah. T-S-A-B-A. Army. So, no doubt, he had implied angels. The host. So he says, and the host of them then, in verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, where they were created. In the day the Lord made the earth and the heavens. Do you know that in Genesis 2, it dealt a lot more with spiritual reality? Did you observe it? Genesis 1 dealt with physical things. It was mixed. Genesis 2 was where it dealt with a lot of physical and spiritual realities. The trees. Just like you use the word host. Sabah. Sabah is used for an army. So, it mentions the army of the heavens. And he said it in a silent way. So that we couldn't see what he was saying. Are you there? Are you following? So, when he says, this is the record, that word record is the word teledoth. T-E-L-E-D-O-T-H. Teledoth means a record. That is, you cannot find any other outside this. So, if anybody is saying anything was before now, anything that will be before now has to be God. Someone listen to what I'm saying. So, if we know angels were created, I said the word Sabah is the word armies. It's used for more than one. You see it in Genesis 21, 22, and 32. Let me just read it together. Genesis 21. 22 and 32. The chief captain of the host. 32. The chief captain of the host is used for an army. So go back to Genesis 2. So, pay attention here. This is important. Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. Pay attention to that. Every beast of the field. Beast of the field. Genesis 3:1. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. So who named angels? Huh? Who named angels? Huh? You are still getting it wrong. I just showed you something now. Who was the one who named every beast of the field? Who named angels? Okay, wait. Let's follow. And I says, now the serpent. If you have said now serpents. Now the serpent. If you observe, before now, if you look at the Genesis 1 account, all the animals that were created, Genesis 1 account, they were in a plural form. Kind. Every. This one was specific. The serpent. Again, it's playing with our minds. What's he doing again? He's using a figure of speech to talk about a being. The serpent. Now, when you have the word the serpent, the serpent, you'll find it in 2 Corinthians 11:3. The serpent. Singular. In the epistles. Second Corinthians 11:3. As the serpent beguiled Eve. We're talking about Satan. Okay? Then, Revelation 12:9, 14, 15, Revelation 22. Serpent singular. Have you observed that when it is used singular, it's referring to the devil, but plural refers to demons? Luke 10:19. Over serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19. Luke 11:11. Shall he give him a serpent? A serpent in a plural form. Mark 16:17. You know that when you hear serpent there, are you thinking he's talking about snakes? No. It's figurative. Are you there? Are you following? Now, notice this. Go back to Genesis 3:1. The serpent, he didn't say a serpent. The serpent. First mention. Was more subtle. That word subtle is an Hebrew word used for a man or men. So really, he's saying was like a man. So without doubt, pay attention, without doubt, he is describing something in a man or from man. Is the Hebrew word arom. The word subtle. The Hebrew word arom is used for wisdom. It wasn't used for evil things. Job 5:12 and 15. Job 5:12 and 15. Job 5:12. The wise in his own craftiness. 15. Proverbs 12:16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame. Prudent. Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man. Proverbs 13:16. A prudent man deals with knowledge. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent. Aram. Proverbs 14:15. The prudent man. Proverbs 14:18. The prudent. Proverbs 22:3. The prudent. Proverbs 27:12. The prudent. Now, whenever you find the word prudent or wise, it refers to somebody who deals with things or who was placed in charge of things. So it wasn't used for evil in the Old Testament language. Now, when you have prudence, you mean someone that was given duties and is doing well. It implies that what we call Satan today must have been the angel assigned to Adam. That's why he would say that Satan and his angels, Revelation 12:9, we'll come to that later. The issue of Lucifer. Was he an angel? We'll find out. But no doubt, he was a spirit being. So, why would you say, use Aram for him? That means that his wisdom was found in man's activities. He was carrying out duties. Was he an angel? We'll probably find that out later today or tomorrow. Angels definitely were created in Genesis for man. Does it make sense? Does it make sense to you now? They were created in Genesis for man. Look at these references quickly. Job 38:7. When the morning stars sang together, we'll find out what morning stars mean. And all the sons of God shouted for joy. That was when I laid the foundations of the earth in verse 4. Okay? Hebrews 1:7. Are they not all? He maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. He maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. That's Hebrews 1:7. That was quoted from Psalm 104 verse 4. Please, go to Hebrews quickly, because we have to run through Hebrews. That word make is poieo, P-O-I-E-O. It's used for actions. P-O-I-E-O, 572 times. It means to manufacture, acts to do. So that means angels, this should not be a rev. Angels were not by themselves. They were created. Okay? So go to Hebrews. Who are angels? He says he makes his angels spirits. So let me ask you. If you were Moses, for example, and you want to describe a spirit relating with man, you will have to use what? Huh? You will use what? Huh? Why did he use serpent? You could have used something else. He used serpent because serpents were now known for danger and for subtlety. Basically, it's not anything big. That's just how visions are. Okay? So, but we know that it's not a serpent. Are you following what I'm saying? Sopoigo, an act of God. Look at that word, ministers. I remember I preached in a convention in 1995, and it was a ministers' meeting. And he says, he makes his ministers a flame of fire. May you become a flame of fire. They had preached there. And I just came to clean up the mess. Like, are you an angel? He makes his ministers. The ministers there are angels. That's why verse 13 calls them ministering spirits. Is that clear? Now, look at that word ministers. It's the word letogos. L-E-I. T-H-O-U, make sure you spell it well, L-E-I-T-H-O-U-R-G-O-S, is used for public servants, L-E-I-T-H-O-U-R-G-O-S. It was used many times for the priesthood. They will wait and attend to something. Romans 13:6, used for earthly ministers, governments. Romans 15:16, used for Jesus. Philippians 2:25, used for Timothy. Romans 13:6, for earthly ministers, governments. Romans 15:16, used for Jesus. Philippians 2:25, used for Timothy. Hebrews 8:2, used for Jesus. So, they are ministering spirits. That is, they will wait on. Now, what? Look at this again, though. Angels were created to wait on. They will wait on. Let me ask you. The heavens and the earth were finished before man was created. Right? Are you there? The rest of God preceded man's creation. Hallelujah. So man's lifestyle was to be by faith, not by works. Either. So it's not a salvation thing. You get it. God did not save to restore. He saved with his original intention. Somebody follow what I'm saying? Is it clear? Is this clear? Huh? Okay, look at this. So, a minister here is somebody who waits on, right? He just waits. He waits for instructions. He waits to make things available. So, look at Hebrews 1:13. Are they not all what? Hebrews 1:14. Let's read together. Are they not all? Huh? Are they not all? Now, why did he say spirits? Because they will not be physical ministers. That's why you will not see them in Genesis 3. Are you listening? Are they not all what? Ministering, sent forth to what? Minister for them. So, angels were created for who? God or man? Thank you. For man. So, let us investigate Genesis 3 again. What was Satan doing in the garden? He was supposed to be there. Either. Because angels are ministering spirits. Okay, was he an angel? Let's assume he was an angel in this session. If he's not an angel, we'll say he's not better. Okay? Now, what we are going to see is that angels were never robots. No, they were not. Angels are not robots. They are still not robots. 2 Peter 2:4. Run through this. 2 Peter 2:4 says the angels that sinned. So angels can sin. Now, how did sin enter into the world? Through, you can't rule out sin from man. The angels that sinned. 2 Peter 2:4. So there were angels that sinned. Jude 7. Before we go to Jude 7, put your hands in Jude 7 and go to 1 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus and the elect angels. So we have elect angels. Jude 7, that's what I say she opened to. Jude 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah, Jude 6, not 7, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. He said they left their first estate. Okay? Please follow this. This is important. The word first is... Okay. Is the word ake, beginning. The beginning. First estate. Estate here is domain. Domain. Domain where you dwell. Used two times in the entire New Testament Greek. Two times. I'll spell it for you. Oiketerion. 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 Let's see where it's used. 2 Corinthians 5:2. Look at it. What is it? Huh? To be clothed upon what? 2 Corinthians 5:2. To be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Our house. That's the word oikoterion. So it's talking about something you wear. So it says they left their first estate. That is something that they wore. That was upon them. That's why they are called, that's why demons are called disembodied spirits. Same as Satan. So you won't, they are not in that same state anymore. Does it make sense? Does it make sense to you? And their habitation. Habitation. Use the word terio. Which kept not. Terio is to watch over, to maintain. They kept not. Now, what do you think he was talking about? What did we see in the serpent? He started acting with man, or like man, or better still, with man. That's where the Aaron came in his prudence. Hold on. Hold on there. So, two things we can see. That these angels left their, left what they were to watch over at the beginning. Because you cannot call, you cannot mention sin and not mention man. It has to be with man. Or the story of you wanted to be like God, please. Don't let it even become, don't even say that a joke. It's not worthy of a joke. Okay? So, the angels that sinned, go 2 Peter 2:4. Again, that sinned, amatano, 43 times is used. That sinned is used for man. Amatano, H-A-R-M-A-T-A-N-O. So, let's see. What was said about it? Go to 2 Peter again. 2:4. Taking you up and down. Up and down. Don't worry. It's necessary. The angels that sinned were cast down to hell. And delivered unto the chains of darkness. Chains. That word chains. Please look at this. I want you to notice this. The word chains is just used once. It's the Greek word isura. Isura. I-S-U-R-A. From the word Cyrus. Do you know where it's used? Cyrus was used in Luke 15. Cyrus, S-I-R-O-S. That's where, you know, when you say a word, use once. It doesn't mean that it's a creation. Just look for synonyms. So to explain it to you, So I-S-U-R-A is taken from S-I-R-O-S, used in the parable of the prodigal son, a popular prodigal son, Luke 15, 23, 27, and 30, for the well-fed calf. So it's not talking about a chain. He's talking about a state. Well-fed. That is the outlook, the composition. So, let's look at this. A composition of darkness. So, he's not talking about a chain to put someone down. No. A composition of darkness. That word darkness is a strange one. It's the word sopos. S-O-P-H-O-S. S-A-S-O-P-H-O-S. Used for gloom. Gloom. And that's the, interestingly, that's the same gloom. Hebrews 12, 18 on Mount Sinai. Gloom. Something that looks so bad and evil. 2 Peter 2, 17 uses it also. To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Then Jude 6, same word, darkness. Jude 6 and Jude 13. Jude 6 and Jude 13, blackness of darkness forever, an eternal state there. So it's talking about gloom. Okay? That these angels carry gloom. They carry a fearful, as it were, terrorizing darkness. So don't think it's, in people's minds, they think that there's some angels in hell. That they kept somewhere. They put them down. They're in detention. It's talking about a status, Cyrus. Reserved. To reserve means they were handed over. To let go. To darkness. Reserved to judgment. Judgment is crisis. You should know that. That is a decision. A decision has been made on them. That is, on these angels, they have been so decided. The angels that sinned. So, they are not somewhere. Now, again, let's look at the word Tartarus. Hell, is the word Tartarus, or Tartaru, T-A-R-T-A-R-O-O. Down to hell. Tartaru is an abode of the doomed. When someone is doomed, he can't come out again. Don't forget, the abode we have been talking about so far is their status. They are in a state of doom. So, when we talk about Gehenna, talk about hell. It depends on what you are talking about. Of course, from the construction here, it's talking about the nature of these folks. Now, look at how James talked about hell. He says, your tongue is what? Hell. Gehenna. So, you can use Gehenna and Tartaru for nature. Are you there? Gehenna. For nature. So, go to Jude 6. They are reserved in everlasting chains. When we see the word Cyrus, it's always everlasting. A state that can't change. Under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Okay. Reserved. Terrio. To maintain. They will be like that. They are going to be maintained this way. This is how they will consistently be. Terrio. But look at, it uses chains here. For bond. B-O-N-D. Dismos is the word he used. D-I-S or D-E-S-M-O-S. Also used for someone that cannot talk. Mark 7:35. So when you see a figure of speech, don't go literal. Do you understand? You know that the description so far by Peter and Jude are not literal. Am I making sense? Is the darkness then literal? I'm asking a question. No, it can't be. Mark 7:35. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed. The string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. So, an inability will be the chains there. Inability. They can't do good. They cannot be light. We'll see it later how angel Satan transforms himself as an angel of light. They can't be. They will emit darkness. So, obviously, angels are not robots. They sinned, and they can sin. Look at that first Timothy 5:21. He called them elect. Elect is, it means fitted for a task amongst others. It's the Greek word elektos. Eklektos, sorry. E-K-L-E-K-T-O-S. E-K-L-E-K-T-O-S. Amongst others. So, the angels that sinned, you can't find them in the same state again. Is that correct, everybody now? Right? They will be found in darkness. Is that correct? Huh? And they will be found in gloom. Is that correct? Good. So, it is not, it never incorrect for those who call demons disembodied spirits. God could not have created a demon. It has to be sin that will create a demon. Just like sin created a sinner. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay, go back to Genesis 3. Verse 1. Look at the first thing. Now we start approaching our subject now. Genesis 3, 1. And now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Now who is the serpent? Huh? Good. A spiritual being. Okay? And said unto the woman, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Where would those words be? Those words will be in your thoughts. As God said, write it down, this is important. Sin is can only be found in its interaction with man. John 8:44. You are your father the devil, for he was a liar from the beginning. From the beginning. He abode not in truth. If you read John 8:31, Jesus was teaching about unbelief and faith. He abode not in truth. He did not believe. So, not only one person. Okay, we'll leave that. John 8:44. Romans 5:12 says, through one man, sin entered into this world. So, we will find sin in man's desire and Satan's desire. Of course, Lucifer was called the angel. The two words used consistently for him is the word Satan. Satan is actually Satan. It means accuser. Somebody who is an opponent. Then devil is wicked. So let me just run through this. Go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. So when you read about Lucifer, Isaiah 14, Lucifer is the word LL, H-E-L-E-L, in the Hebrew. It means shining from Allah, H-A-L-L, H-A-L-A-L, Isaiah 14. So, Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which this wicketh the nations? Now, he's talking about an earthly person, okay, whose kingdom was wrought. He was talking about an earthly king, a human being. Are you there? Isaiah 14. was talking about a human being. Now, Isaiah 14. But within this, we can see what we can call a manifestation of Satan. It says, and you weaken the nations. An earthly manifestation of what happened. He mentioned stars in 13. Stars were used for angels. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He left his work. Above the stars of God, I will sit on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. This is like man. Remember where we started from. Aaron was used for man. He started to want to relate like man. Are you following this? So, I will be like the Most High here. It's not God he's talking about. He's talking about man. So, again, this is in the interaction with man. So, this is Lucifer falling from heaven. Revelation 12 tells us. Revelation 12. I'll just run that one. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world, was cast out into the earth. His angels were cast out with him. Okay? Again, two pictures. So, he calls him Lucifer, now the devil. You can't, because he has lost light. Are you following me? He has lost light. He doesn't have light. But he had light. That's why he was called Lucifer. Elel or Alal. The same word used for morning, something in the morning. Morning. Morning star, for example. Or day star. Apologies. 2 Peter 1:19. So, man's interactions are critical for us to understand spirit beings. You can't know spirits outside man. In this instance, angels. Let's now say something. Imagine, with all we have not heard, he now says, Jesus, through death, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That had the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver them who all through their lifetime were subject to the bondage of fear. Oh. Hallelujah. So there was a ministry in Genesis 3. It was sent to man, to minister for man. Go to Hebrews 1. To minister for man. Hebrews 1. Verse 7 and 14 now says to minister. Now, don't forget, lithogios means to stand. You're not doing anything, you're just standing waiting for instruction. Or standing waiting to do something. 14 now says to minister for them, diakonia. To actually serve things for man. To minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Look at the word, send forth. Sent forth is the word apostello. Apostello, from the word apostello. 1:33 times. It means you commissioned apostello mena. M-E-N-A. A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L-O-M-E-N-A. To be commissioned. 1:33 times is used. You are commissioned. That means, if you are commissioned to do something, it doesn't mean you will always do it. It doesn't also mean you always do it right. Have we observed something we have said so far? We'll unveil it more in the next session. Angels are not robots. Is that clear? Is that very clear? Anything that can disobey is not a robot. Even animals are not robots. Do you understand? Animals can be tricky too. They are not robots. As low as they are in the creation of God, they are not. It's not a robot. So angels were sent for. So, obviously, there's something we have seen so far. We have two kinds of angels in scripture, right? We have the elect angels. We have angels of light. We have good ones and we have evil ones, right? The evil ones are disembodied. They are no longer in the form of angels, correct? Good. They can The angels can they see, think, act, believe, or act otherwise? And how do we see their activities? It will be through man. So, let me finish this session by saying this. We'll kick it off in the next session. God doesn't relate to angels directly. Hallelujah. Amen. He doesn't. Angels minister for man. Praise God. All right.